broadcast, and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind.
So we're switching it up today. We got a lot of different stuff going on. My brother Mark will not be with us.
He's a whale assignment.
Well, yeah, you could say that. So it's me and Dave, and we've got Edith,
hello,
Dave's wife, in the studio with us. So, it's going to be a little bit different show. We're going to try to cover some of the local issues, some of the national issues, and just issues.
And I'm looking at some issues right outside right now.
I know. I've been watching. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what we're doing. We're not going to ask too much of
Join
that.
Join us as we delve into the dirty nasty of what's going on in America as it just gets worse and worse.
Right.
And worse and worse.
I have to announce one of our sponsors, which is Luke Pearson Construction, Excavation, and Fire Cleanup. They're located here in Reading. And it's a team of skilled professionals is equipped to handle all types of excavation projects, including site preparation, grading, trenching, and more. They're licensed and bonded here in our beautiful city. They do great work. If you would like to have him come out and take a look and maybe do some work for you, give Luke a call at 530-605-9575.
Perfect.
And with that, I also want to give a shout-out to Frank. Mm-hmm. You know, Frankie's been a little under the weather for a while. He was in the hospital. He's home now. And he's doing much better. But I sure miss our talks on Sunday morning and our laughs. We have a lot of laughs with that. So,
I'm looking forward to having you back, Frank.
Yep. We miss you, Frankie. And then, of course, I want to announce the Second Amendment fundraiser that we got coming up this next Saturday. We just did one last night. It was a full house. It was a great time. Let's do it again, folks, and support the Second Amendment. We will be at the Anderson VFW Hall on the 11th at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. The doors open at 4. There's a lot of good live auction items. We always have a lot of good prizes on the raffle table. Come support it. You know, we need this. This is for the court case. If you want to get a hold of somebody on the tickets, you can call Terry at 530-246-9706. Remember to make your check out to Pecan, and in the memo put 2A. But, yeah, it should be a really good time. It's very important for everybody to come out and help support this. If you can't attend, we will take donations. I have been receiving donations in the mail, and I want to thank everybody for that. So it takes all of us to help with that, to make it happen. No comment, huh?
Well, I also wanted to say we also have Liam.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, our wonderful producer, Liam.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hey.
Are you awake?
I'm trying to be.
I totally understand this. Getting home at 12:30, I'm not used to, but I'm here. So.
At 12:30 a.m. or in the afternoon?
A.M.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Now, we had a really good time last night, and like I say, hopefully we will this next Saturday. If you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets and come have fun with us.
Well, and the thing about it is, too, is people need to remember is dueling is no longer legal. So the best way that we can get our Second Amendment rights back is actually through the legal system. So we need to kind of...
Yeah, I just want my right the way it's supposed to be, my constitutional right.
Yes, and unfortunately, we're seeing a few more states actually joining in to try to take those same rights away. However, if this ends up getting overturned, and if we end up winning this, it'll end up setting the precedent for the rest of these states that are doing this. And this is one of those things to where California and New York, they're the brackets that are like a cancer on this country that just spread out to everything else once they end up doing it. And we'll actually discuss a little bit of that later on, but first I think we've got some
Well, yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because Shasta County is being on the map a lot lately with first on things, especially in California, you know, so.
It's been interesting because you look at just what our little area has been able to do and able to achieve. We've made national news now several times last
year.
Yes,
we have.
And also international news at least three times that I can count.
And we have this year as well over the Dominion voting machines.
And yeah. It's something that as long as we end up making a stand, this is the thing that I notice is that we're in a society right now to where the people who are speaking the loudest, the people who there's a craving for their words, are the people who are just saying really basic truths. They're saying basic things. It doesn't have to be convoluted or complex. You just have to be able to stand up and say, yeah, maybe you're not a woman if you've got nuts.
Whoa. Okay.
And it's weird how things like this are controversial. But all you have to do is be willing to actually say the truthful things, and you look at the people they're going after. They're going after people like Jordan Peterson. They're going after people like Andrew Tate. They're not saying anything that is insane or crazy. They're saying something that just 20 years ago would have been everyday logic.
Yep. Well, you can't be truthful and not get attacked, you know, anymore. Sorry about that. All of our phones are going off. Whatever that was all about. But, yeah, and that's what, you know, we try to do with the people here with this show and Jefferson State of Mind. Yes.
Are you able to buy tickets at the door?
You should be able to, but I wouldn't guarantee that. So you probably want to make sure that you get your tickets ahead of time, but there probably will be. They can give Terry a call, or you can give me a call at 530-221-0101 so we can discuss that. And I guess I should have told you how much the tickets were, huh? $40 each. A table of eight is $300, and you get $200 in raffle tickets.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, just got really dead in my head. So now that we're kind of on the local thing, I just wanted to go over a little bit about, you know, some of the local stuff that we got going on. Speaking of making the news, I kind of want to hit upon that grant, you know, that the Kathy Darling was going to get or in the process of getting the $1.5 million grant. Supposedly that's for a new building. But there's a lot of strings attached because in the grant, it doesn't just say just for a building. We don't know at all.
Is it like the new courthouse that we got that doesn't have jail cells?
Well, it could be. Maybe you don't have a place to put ballots. I don't know. But, I mean, it's always a possibility. So I know the Board of Supervisors wanted more clarity on that. You know, and a lot of times these people like Kathy, what's the difference? We need the money. You know, what? So who cares what strings are attached? Well, it makes a big difference because remember where this grant's coming from.
Well, and that's
Zuckerberg.
That's the thing, too. When you end up looking at this money and you look at the places that it's been used before, in fact, wasn't he in trouble recently in Pennsylvania for all of the money that he donated there that ended up changing the way the ballots were drawn out and being processed and all that?
Yeah, something like that. I think he also was involved in FTX a little bit there, too.
Well, there was a lot of
that. So anyway, so I just, you know, I know there's people that are aware of it, but this is something we need to be more aware of because, of course, Kathy Darling doesn't see anything wrong with that, accepting that money from there and them telling you what you can and can't do with that money. So that brings me kind of, you know, segues into the machines. And I do have a cut from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association that I wanted to play in regards to the upcoming elections and the machines. So if you want to go ahead and play that, Liam, that would be great.
Give me one moment.
Okay. Sorry about that. So, yeah, this has to do with our wonderful Dominion voting machines and what they would like to do. Mm-hmm. For the county.
It's interesting how much more we're finding out, because it seems to me like every time we have significant amounts of information, they like to push more information out there that's false from all these different places and then say, oh, this isn't something to look at all. And the real truth of the matter is just as pertinent, but they just disguise it with all the rest of this crap.
Right. And you know, we've had people go before the Board of Supervisors and state that the people that talk about how bad the Dominion machines are and stuff, that they're not credible, blah, 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 blah. You know, like we're a bunch of nut jobs. Well, we're starting to get traction with other people across the nation. And here is, I was trying to look for the guy's name, but I'm sorry, I don't see it right off. But let's go ahead and play the clip, what they want to do before and after we get rid of the machines.
So things are happening in Shasta County. And what's happening right now is they have a special election coming up. So they can't get rid of the Dominion machines until after the special election. So I'm working with Dr. Douglas Frank, and we're going to try to get the board to approve a data backup. So we'll have a data backup before the special election, and then we'll do another data backup right after the special election, because once the Dominion people come and collect their machines, without a data backup, we won't have the required backup. These records are supposed to be maintained for 2 years. So if Dominion takes the machines and we don't do a data backup, we won't have all that information, all the voter information available to comply with the 2 year requirement to hold on to that data.
Wow.
Yeah. And thank you. It was Jack Frost that was speaking on that video. And, you know, that's something that we didn't think about, or maybe some did and some didn't, about having that backup, because that's very true. Not that we haven't seen our elections office destroy records in the past or anything so that we can't obtain that information and find out what's going on. So it's a great thing. Now, is it going to be honored? That's the next thing, because, you know, this election is March 7th. Now, I don't think that they're going to actually certify the election till like 20 days or something, is, you know, after the election, mm-hmm. before she'll actually certify it. But still, a lot of things could happen in between time there, before and after the election day with the votes.
Well, a lot of this, too, personally, I don't have a lot of faith in our system to where we saw what took place in 2020. And now we saw what took place in 2022 in a lot of places. And these are the steps that we absolutely have to take in order to right the system. Because how can we expect to have anything change when we're relying on the exact same principles that got us here in the first place? It's the definition of insanity.
I was going to say, does it sound familiar? And with that, we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, Linda. Say, can I help the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council by saying I got some tickets left here for sale?
I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah, you can. You betcha. Go for it, Dick.
Well, okay. They're having a fundraiser, and I have, I think I have 9 tickets left. They're $10 tickets. 9. It's a Traeger pellet smoker grill. Pellet stove smoker, and I got, I think, 9 tickets left on that, and I got 7 tickets left on a Firestorm 380 semi-automatic handgun, and according to Tom Johnson, they only put 150 of each, and anyway, I'm trying to help them with these tickets. And if anybody like them, they give me a call. We'll get together somehow. Can I get my phone number?
Sure.
530-246-9131.
All right. Is that all you got?
Yeah, I got the handgun tickets. It's a Firestorm 380 semi-automatic handgun, $10 tickets, and a Traeger smoker grill. It's a pellet stove smoker grill.
All right. So
if anybody would like to have some tickets, I have some left. And I'm going to get all tickets sold. They're going to have the drawing. So anyway,
are they going to have the drawing after all the tickets are sold, or is there a particular date?
No, they tell me after they're sold. So we're getting pretty close. Anyway, again, my number, Dick Wilkinson, my number is 530-246-9131.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
You betcha.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah. And I just want to say, in the chat room, it says, you know, the election laws that Kathy Darling has to keep the records for 6 months, at least 6 months. But if we don't have any reference or anything, just saying, with the Dominion machines, you know.
Well, and what can we do to ensure that we actually have records on that?
I'm not sure exactly who would go about going in there and backing that up. Do we rely on them to do the backup? Or how would that work? I'm not sure.
Stones, this is a call out to you. If you know, if you happen to know on what we can do in order to make that happen and who would get that done and who we need to apply pressure
because
to.
Because I would think it would have to be somebody that's impartial, quote unquote.
Well,
I would assume, but maybe not, because they could always say, well, you don't know how the machine works. You're not from Dominion or whatever. You know what I mean?
As long as there's a backup, then there's the evidence that should be there to at least show whether or not something has been tampered with after that through a forensic audit. Now, it shouldn't have to be that way, but I'd rather have a backup with a partial party than have no backup at all, if that makes sense.
Right, and you know, it's not on the internet, according to Kathy Darling,
mm-hmm.
which we know isn't true. So somebody would have to physically come here
mm-hmm.
and somehow do the backup, I would assume.
Well, and honestly, most of this data is not big. Text documents, things of that nature. I mean, you could get a thumb drive at Walmart for less than $20 to do a backup probably of this size anymore. I mean, we're talking 128 gigabytes for nothing. That seems like it's worth it to at least keep that information, at least for the while that we need to.
Now, another question would be with that in regards is, does Kathy Darling have to allow that? Or does that, you know, would the Board of Supervisors have to say you will comply with that? I don't know. Or could she refuse? Mm-hmm. Refuse it. That'd be one of my questions. Is can she refuse having somebody come in or whoever to do a backup of her records before and after? You know, and I find it kind of funny that I believe it was like till the 20th or something that they're saying that the special election will take to get certified. It's only like, I don't know, 5,000 votes, 6,000 votes or something. It's only Shasta Lake City for the city council. So
interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. Stay tuned on that one. We'll have more information on it. I just wanted to bring that up.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that we want to hit locally?
I can't think of anything right off the top of my head. Where do you want to go? I ask where you want to go with this one? Because there's a few things out there.
So this is...
the Hershey thing.
Yeah, Women's International Month, and I thought this would be kind of a fun segue to segue in between. So, unfortunately,
okay.
Hershey's ended up putting out this thing called Hershey, and let's just see if you can tell who's representing International Women's Day just from the voice of the individual.
Oh, no sound.
No sound.
Hold on, guys. We're working on it.
Should be Evan Stones. There we go.
My name is
John
Stones. I'm the executive director of Wisdom to Action.
we can create a world where everyone is able to live in public space as their honest and authentic selves. See the woman changing how we see the future.
Okay.
Wow.
Just hearing that, does that sound like you're being represented, ladies?
No. We have a man's voice trying to represent us women as a quote-unquote woman. That doesn't instill confidence in us women that we're being represented.
So I do have a rebuttal to that from Jeremy's Chocolate. So I personally will not be boycotting Hershey's over this. Because I already boycotted Hershey's over the fact of child freaking labor like years ago. And they never stopped. So anytime I have the opportunity to not get Hershey's, I don't do that.
I don't do Hershey's anyway, so I don't have to worry about it.
Here's another non-sponsored option that they deserve this spot because of the message that they're putting out. So here we go.
International Women's Day is upon us again. And I love an international woman. But our friends over at Hershey's, they don't even know what a woman is. They've hired a biological male to be the spokesperson for their Women's Day campaign. And they're calling that campaign, and I swear I'm not making this up, Hershey. Hershey. It's humiliating. And it's the reason that I'm launching Jeremy's Chocolate. We have two kinds. She, her, and he, him. One of them's got nuts. If you need me to tell you which one it is, keep giving your money to Hershey's. But if you're tired of giving your money to woke corporations that hate you, and you're looking for a delicious chocolate bar from a company that actually wants your business, head over to IHateHersheys.com and order Jeremy's Chocolate today.
What a crazy world we live in. But that kind of brings us, you know, kind of segues into some of the other stuff we wanted to cover. I know, you know, like in regards to... you know, Tennessee just bans drag shows for minors and trans youth medical procedures. I know there's a few other states that are doing that as well.
The level of crazy and stupid that we're ending up seeing that has been taking place lately is... Sorry, give us just 1 second here in the studio.
Okay, hold on. I'm on it.
Okay. So the level of crazy that we're seeing right now, so we're seeing just 2 days ago, a man set himself on fire at UC Berkeley campus, and the video on this is quite disturbing, but they say that the man was experiencing a severe mental health episode while on campus at the University of California at Berkeley, and was telling first responders and bystanders to leave him alone, the New York Post reported. A video of the incident, which has garnered nearly 9 million views, was shared to Twitter. Took my son to recruitment to visit for UC Berkeley football and saw this after we got lunch, wrote the video's original poster. But he's got this video on here, and the video is 30 seconds long, and it's 30 seconds of this guy standing upright on fire. You can see his clothes burning, face burning, and this is on the college campus just down the way. And we're seeing stuff like this all over the place. The same week that this happened, there was another video that came out of a guy just literally walking up. He spends like maybe a minute and a half loading
the gun on the street. Nobody says anything or does anything at all.
And he's right there loading the gun right there in front of a homeless guy, finishes loading it, and then bang, just kills the homeless guy. And this is what we're seeing all across the nation right now is just absolute insanity that's taking place in a government that is not governmenting at all, by any means at all. So to tie into that, I've got a new story that ended up coming out as of the 2nd from KTLA 5 News. 15 arrested for over $38 million in stolen funds from low-income Southern California families. The suspects targeted funds dispersed through CalWORKs and CalFresh programs, which help low-income beneficiaries purchase food and provide for basic needs, said U.S. Attorney Office. In total, over $38.9 million was stolen from victims' EBT cards for food stamps programs, officials said. The large-scale operation resulted in the arrest of 15 suspects, many of whom they say authorities say are Romanian nationals.
Wow. But that leads me right into, you know, like with EDD, I don't know if we've talked about it on this show, but we did on our podcast. I had a guy sitting in my office that told me his brother was in prison, and he actually got $54,000 from California EDD while he was incarcerated. Have you not? And he's one of many.
And there was nothing wrong with that.
Evidently not. So I guess with that, we will take a break. And when we come back, we'll pick up some more stories. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Redding Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, bounce houses. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd. Go to www.reddingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Redding, Zombie Arms and Ammunition, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Welcome back. And we're going to just keep on talking about different things. I kind of wanted to hit, before we go too all over, not that we do that, but maybe hit on this. You know, we kind of jump around sometimes, so I wanted to kind of hit on this treaty with the WHO in regards to the pandemic. So the headline on it on the Epic Times is Why the WHO Pandemic Treaty is a Horrible Deal. And this makes it so that they have control over what is said in the guidelines for us here in America if Biden signs on to a treaty. People don't realize it's not an executive order. So he would have to have the Congress, right, to do that somewhat. But this, if it's a treaty, he doesn't need approval from anybody, and it can just be implemented. And then they tell us how we are to handle the pandemic.
Well, they've been playing at this for a while now. What's what's horrible about this, from my understanding of it, is so let's say he signs this treaty. Let's say that they declare a new pandemic, or like in California, I don't think we ever actually ended the pandemic.
I think it just ended. Didn't the state of emergency just end at the end of February? I could be wrong, but maybe, I think maybe.
I heard something like that, but the problem that I can see on is it's like every other day, it's like, oh, we ended the pandemic. Nah, we didn't end the pandemic. It's still going, folks. Yeah. Pandemic's still happening. It's been, I want to say, like 8-9 times now that's happened just
right
here locally.
Well, yeah. Remember when it first started, it was, 14 days.
Right.
What are we going, 2.5 years later?
Oh, yeah,
you know?
we're well past 600 days at this point, moving on.
But what it says is that it would be a legal binding pandemic treaty will give the organization the authority to control U.S. policies during a pandemic, including those on vaccines, lockdowns, school closures, and more.
And so, once again, this is turning over, and honestly, I won't abide by it. I don't care what they say at this point in time. We're obviously well into territory of, you think you can do whatever the hell you want to, and that's not going to actually take place. We're well past the time when I'm willing to even have a conversation in regards to that, my or my children's bodily autonomy.
Right.
So, and that's well past.
With that, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Dolores.
Oh, good morning, Linda. I think I heard you say something about Shasta Lake. Did you mention Shasta Lake, something about the election?
Yes, March 7th, there's a special election.
Okay. I don't know if you guys are aware that Shasta Lake, actually, I'm surprised that nobody's done anything yet, but Shasta Lake, when I went to go pay my bill recently, I went in there in the front lobby, and then I turn around, and there's a box actually in the lobby where it says drop your ballot there for the election, and it's inside the city of Shasta Lake. I didn't know they can do that. I don't think they can, but that's what they have in the lobby where you go pay your bills to drop your ballot.
I heard that they were going to have one there because they're not going to have any precinct voting, and then I believe that's the only one in Shasta Lake, and maybe somebody can call in. I could be wrong. And then, of course, you can mail in your ballot, or you can go to the elections office and cash your vote.
Yeah, I find it very disturbing that they can do that. They seem to do whatever they want in Shasta Lake and Kathy Darling, too. It's like when you sub, just because we have City of Shasta Lake has a contract with the city, with the county. I didn't know when you sub the elections, any information that they have a contract and it says what you can do, what you can't do. I'm sorry, I have a little cold here, but so I didn't know they could just do whatever they want because it's not in writing on the contract that that's what they can do. And Kathy Darling is responsible when they start doing these kind of things. And it's not on the contract, and it wasn't even voted on there.
Yeah, I don't know about the contract and where they can place that voting box. But I do know that Shasta Lake wouldn't be having a special election if Kathy Darling hadn't made a mistake. In the first place, and it's costing Shasta County about $81,000 in order for this special election. That I do know.
Right. And another thing about, speaking of costing a lot of money in Shasta Lake, since you guys are probably aware that we're not sure, end up having a special election up here in Gateway Unified School. If the board members don't decide on who to pick to fill the position that, Sarah Clifford resigned. And so if there's going to be a meeting on the 8th this week to be interviewing, for that position. So if they can't seem to come to a decision, there's going to be a special election. I'm pretty sure it's going to come down to that because I don't think they're going to agree who they're going to pick to be on that board.
Right.
So, Dolores, the answer for this was just, I don't actually, I was told this just now.
Okay.
Reason why the box is in the municipal building is because it can be observed there.
Wow. So So, okay, so they say, right, because it's in the lobby and they have cameras and things like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, that's good to know, but still, you know, I don't know if they, I'm pretty sure that you got to have some, you have to kind of like have it in writing what you're going to be, where you're going to be putting that box. You can't just decide at the last minute where you're going to put a box. You know, this is
yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody else can call in or something that would know that. I don't believe it was determined just lately that it would be done. I think when they realized that they had to pull a special election or perform a special election, that that was one place that the boxes would be placed. I could be wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I just want to hope hopefully to we get a lot of people at the Gateway Unified School to support a couple of people who actually put in applications to, you know, hopefully they get picked to be on the board. So it's going to be a nightmare again in Gateway Unified School. So I hope we get a lot of people there because I know one of our people actually applied.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Dolores. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
You bet. Bye. Okay. That took care of that one. As far as, I don't know. I do believe that the boxes were prearranged to where that box was going to be put, but maybe somebody can call in and let us know.
Mm-hmm. So I did want to go back to that story that you had because, I mean, that's...
Which story?
The one about the who and the shooting.
Oh, yes, yes.
So the thing about that is under that treaty, the way I understand it, is they would be in charge of saying all of the policies that we would have to abide to. So let's say all the policies for the school, the vaccine mandates, and all the rest of it. On a shot that we are seeing time and time again now, they're saying not only is ineffective, does not work, is worse than your own natural immunity, also seems to be causing people to die.
No, it is causing people to die. You know, I have a really hard time with this because who are they to tell us here in America what we are to do or not to do? We are supposed to be governing our own selves, correct?
Of course.
Yeah. So
we're just going to turn over our sovereignty to the World Health Organization.
That, yeah.
Who seems to be deeply embedded with, you know, the World Economic Forum.
Yes, and the evil people.
Well, and there was, I'm going to find it for you guys over the course of this next break because it needs to be heard because there was two journalists who actually went and found the head of Pfizer and they asked them the questions we all wanted to ask them and it was very telling the answers that we ended up getting. So I'm going to see if I can find that for us and then go ahead and play that after the top of the hour. But in regards to this, if he signs this treaty,
right,
then you don't have any say over your own bodily autonomy whatsoever. The World Health Organization gets to dictate that to you, and that's the way it is under the treaty. And you don't get a chance to have your representative even vote on that. It just is what it is.
Yeah, and who's profiting from all of this?
Well, obviously, Pfizer's been having a banner year. Moderna's been having a banner year. All of these companies and a lot of these organizations that are pushing this are obviously having a banner year. I mean, Pfizer's obviously been able to help fund satanic worship at the Oscars. That was great.
Right. It's just crazy. And I don't think people realize what kind of power that would have.
So,
and if you don't know that it's going on, how can you even fight against it or do anything about it? I mean, we did it here locally. We go back again to the local situation. Shasta County has stood up for the shots, the mandates, the state of emergency, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and it's so in a completely unrelated story, the New Zealand Herald of.
Not too far left, Clyde.
So it says New Zealand records biggest increase in registered death in 100 years. Totally unrelated.
Oh, yeah, sure it is.
Died suddenly is all over the place, totally unrelated.
With that, we'll go to our caller. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, folks. You know, you guys are talking about this, you know, pandemic, plandemic, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Now, I've called in before talking about the mail-in ballots and how back when Lincoln was running for president, they really, the Democrats pushed the mail-in ballots and they were caught forging, you know, signatures on all these ballots. So that's part one of the voter fraud that's going on here. And I don't mean to get off topic, but it kind of is on topic with this whole coronavirus thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has anybody out there heard about the Rajneesh Puram in northern Oregon?
I can't say
that I have.
Back in the 80s. Okay, so what these folks did was some fraudster, you know, guy from India came out here, you know, spouting his, you know, all peace and love stuff, bought a couple thousand acres in northern Oregon, and got this commune going. Well, these people had their own airport, their own runway. They had their own medical center, their, you know, schools, post office. They had a whole town. They told their followers to sell everything they owned and move there. And this guy, this fraudster, had, he had, like, you know, Rolls Royces. He was really rich. And so that sets the narrative. So what they did was their medical center, they were the first people to really do a bioterrorism attack in the United States. And what they did, and this is Wasco County in Oregon, what they did is they had all these people, thousands of followers, and they had their own medical center. And what they were doing behind the scenes, besides all the disgusting things they were doing, you know, anyway, so they started culturing salmonella. It was a virulent strain. It's only 2% of the salmonella viruses out there. And the first run they did on this town in Wasco County was all the followers went out there and sprayed this stuff on door handles, hoping people would get sick. That didn't work. So the second thing they did was they went out and they started spraying these bottles of salmonella on salad bars. And it was a test run to see how many people would get sick in a town or a county, and it worked the second time. It didn't work the first time on the door handles because they probably washed their hands before they ate, you know, like most of us do. But they sprayed it directly on food sources. And so all these people got sick in this town. The FDA couldn't figure out what it was. They said it was improper food handling by all these restaurants, which got, you know, thrown under the bus. So what they were trying to do was install their people into the county seat, and they were going to make everybody sick so people couldn't vote. They'd be too sick to go vote.
Does this sound familiar?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I just posted the story on.
I saw that into the chat room. Yeah.
And, I mean, that was like a test run. So they did that, and the last thing they were going to do basically was do the same thing to the water source or something along those lines. But people, check it out. That was the first bio attack in America. And it was the same thing to change the votes, change the voting structure or the people in office.
Right. That's kind of exactly what happened with COVID. Exactly. And
exactly.
If you remember right, when it first happened, I remember seeing videos, and I believe it was at Home Depot. I could be wrong, where they were showing where people were doing that. They were infected with COVID or whatever, and trying to spread it in, you know, touch, like the touch screen things and
sure.
And the checkout and everything back when it first started.
Right. And if you watch this video, folks out there, it goes way deeper. There was all kinds of weird surveillance stuff going on. It's on Forensic Files. That show, Forensic Files. If anybody's familiar with that.
Some of us are, yeah. But yeah, I mean, would it put it past them in doing it? We know that, you know, with the COVID, all the different stuff that they wanted to happen with the elections and just locking us down, see if we would, you know, go along with the program and all of that. The total control that they wanted to have over us or still want over us.
Yeah, but now they've, you know, they kicked it one, you know, field further and made us take vaccinations to not come out of our house. So, I mean, this is the genesis of this sort of thing, folks. That's all I'm trying to say. Look it up. And somebody just posted on the chat room, Big Muddy Ranch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out, people.
All right, Jimmy. Well, thanks for calling in. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on the 11th. That's all.
All right. We'll be having a good time. Thanks a lot, Jimmy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You got it. Bye.
Bye. And again, that was Forensic Files, Season 7, Episode 8. But we go back to the COVID thing. That's exactly what they did. They kept changing it. Lock us down more and more. You're not essential. Look at how many businesses and stuff closed and all the damage that's been done over this COVID, whether it's deaths. I mean, it goes on and on. The list goes on and on and on about all the damage it's done to the people, not just in the United States, worldwide.
How about this? So this one's a little bit near and dear to my heart. I got permabanned from Facebook for sharing the information that the FBI director now is sharing. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I was just a little too early, but FBI director for...
I was going to say, well, depends. Who was the FBI director?
Christopher Wray. And so this was published on March 1st on Fox News, as much as I dislike using them, but... it's common information now at this point. I could probably find a different place to find it from. But it was the first one that popped up when I ended up searching it. So the FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan, Ray told Fox News in an interview that aired Tuesday. Here you are talking about a potential leak from a Chinese government-controlled lab. I will just make the observation that the Chinese government, it seems to me, has been doing its best to try to thwart and obfuscate the work here. That work we're doing, the work in which our U.S. government and close foreign partners are doing, and that's unfortunate for everybody, he added. Now, what's interesting to me is Ray didn't actually end up mentioning any of the U.S. funding or the labs or the people inside of California that were donating money to get this done. They also didn't end up noting anything about Obama's involvement or Dr. Anthony Fauci's involvement.
Oh, no, not at all.
There. But at least they're finally coming out and saying that, you know, rather than having it be the wet market that this bat potentially came from, that somebody would have had to grab, drive 1,000 miles, go to the wet market, sell that bat, after 1,000 miles, mind you, to somebody who then gets infected by it. We're supposed to believe that for these last 2 years, when literally right across the street, there's a giant place right there that's just a flashing neon lights of we do genetic mutations and research here. We're supposed to believe the wet market story rather than...
Yeah, but now they're coming out. Yes, it was. It really was, you know, in a lab. It really was leaked and everything.
Yes, but you notice the obfuscation of the truth. Now we're saying, oh, China. Well, when's Fauci going to get his day? When's Obama going to get his day? When's the people who worked with China and California at these universities going to get their day? When are we going to start wondering, hey, why are we doing gain-of-function research still?
Right.
We have the Pfizer information that came out from the leaks just recently, and why nobody's talking about that? Oh, I forgot. We had a balloon that flew over.
Right. I want to read this real quick. And it says, we were right about the lab leak. We were right about natural immunity. We were right about masks. We were right about lockdowns. We were right about the vaccines. We were right about boosters. We were right about them faking COVID numbers. We were right about the deadly hospital protocol. We were right about ivermectin. We were right about evil Dr. Fauci. We were right about the evil WHO. We were right about it being a world power grab. We were right about everything.
I guess us tin hat wearing Americans aren't liars after all.
We go back to the truth. Didn't we start out with the truth at the beginning of the show?
Exactly. And so this is my thing on it, too. They call us the tin hat wearing conspiracy theorists. How does that make any sense? We're the ones saying there's a building right there that does genetic mutations and research on this exact same thing, that we have evidence to show somebody got sick there like 20 days before this. But we're supposed to be the ones that are conspiracy theorists when you're saying that, oh, there's a wet market over here that somebody grabbed a random bat from 1,000 miles away and brought it over here so they can make bat soup.
Problem-solving logic isn't very common anymore.
Well, and Dr. Fauci shouldn't be the only one that's up on charges. What about Bill Gates? What about Pfizer?
There are the amount of people that know that they are actively killing individuals in this process. We need Nuremberg 2.0 trials on this. The amount of people that are dead on this right now from what we know so far, and the amount of people that were interested and invested in making money off of this and gaining control and getting more control, there has to be trials.
We have to have somebody that will do it. Do we have somebody that has a Hershey? Just asking for a friend. I mean, you know, you hear it all the time. You see it. Charges are going to be brought. This is going to happen. I mean, we go back to Hillary and everything. So far, have we seen anything?
This completely goes back to the QAnon crap. And I was telling people the whole time on that. At first, for like the first 3 weeks, I started researching it. And I'm like, all right, so it's interesting. I'll go through and I'll look at what's going on. And then when the first Nostradamus crap didn't end up happening and people started making up other things, I started being like, yeah, no, not interested. And you look at what took place in 2020, never would have happened without the QAnon thing. I don't know. Because you think about it, the whole premise of the QAnon thing, I think it was the feds, personally. I think it was, because the whole premise was trust the plan. Just sit back and do nothing. Trust the invisible plan.
Just trust in me? They did with everything? I mean, the government saying, trust in me, you know, like the little snake in Jungle Book, you know, that, yeah, as I eat you, or, yeah.
Just trust me.
Just trust me.
You look at what took place and the amount of ear that came out afterwards and the amount of the American public that was just straight up pissed off by what they ended up seeing in 2020. But yet there were so many of these people that still ended up just going through and saying, trust the plan.
Yeah. But I think more people are waking up to exactly what the power grab is and how extensive this is. This is the first time I think that it's actually been a global thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in our backyard. It's bad enough it's in our backyard. But it's going across the globe with this stuff how damaging it is for everybody here.
Mm-hmm. When Miss and I were just talking about this yesterday, and to your point about people waking up, we were discussing just yesterday about blood banks and about the blood donations and things of that nature and how a lot of them are contaminated by individuals who have already gotten the clot shot.
Yeah.
So there is actually, as of 17 hours ago, Dr. Peter McCullough retweeted this, a new Montana bill plans to ban individuals who received the COVID-19 vaccine from donating blood, making it a misdemeanor with a $500 fine to donate or accept blood from vaccinated donors.
That's always been.
I thought it was fine, you guys. I thought the vaccine was good and it was not going to affect your body at all. But
see, that's one thing I've always wondered with the blood. So if you get tainted blood with it, how severe of damage is it going to do to you?
Well, this is the thing on it. So
and how would they test your blood to see if you have it or not?
It's testing for the spike protein or looking at your records. But the thing about it is this spike protein through the mRNA is not a natural protein to the body. So when you end up having this get introduced into your body, for whatever reason, starts making this spike protein. So we have no idea how long it stays in the body. For some people, it's not a big deal. For other people, it's kind of life-changing or life-ending.
More like ending, because we still don't know all of the damage that's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people, it could be years down the road. We have no idea the extent of the damages that this COVID vaccine boosters and stuff will have on the people and babies. in future generations. We don't know that.
Well, and so that gets back to the other. I don't know that we're going to have time for that. So we do have a break.
Yeah, we do. We're at the top of the hour, and we will pick up this conversation on the other side, I'm sure. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. We'll see you on the other side.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
All right, we're back. We didn't have to do the news. Something happened there. So we're back, and I'm not sure. Where do you want, guys? I know there was a few other subjects you guys wanted to touch upon. One do we want to start with so we can kind of keep it together somewhat?
We could go to some of the FBI whistleblower stuff. Did you want to go ahead and start us off on that, Miss?
Could you read it because I wasn't able to find your link.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so there is a number of things that have come out recently from the FBI, and there is an FBI whistleblower with claims that the agency forced him to juice domestic terrorism numbers. So
yes,
it was Peter J. Hansen ended up coming out with this information as of March 2nd. The FBI special agent, Garrett O'Boyle, also said the FBI made him divide one domestic terrorism case into four different cases in what he described an effort by the Bureau to be able to show Congress the influx of domestic terrorism cases. He also ended up saying that they were going specifically with a focus on pro-lifers after the Roe v. Wade case was overturned. The whistleblower also said that the FBI created a threat tag to deal with the leak of the Supreme Court opinions on Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Center that was shifted into focus on pro-lifers. The threat tag, Threat SCOTUS 2022, was created to deal with threats against the Supreme Court justices, which are a federal crime.
Boyle said the threat tag was then shifted and began focusing on pro-life adherents.
Mm-hmm.
When this threat tag came out, it was like, why are you focusing on pro-life people, Boyle said in the transcript of the interview, which Fox News reviewed. It's pro-choice people that are the ones protesting and otherwise threatening violence in front of the Supreme Court on justices' houses. The FBI did not immediately respond to the Daily Caller's request for comment.
Okay, so touch... Sorry.
Go ahead. No.
So touching on that, if you're on public sidewalk, even if you're in front of, like, these people's houses, based on the fact that it's public, no one should be going after any protesters. So I am your local anti-abortion activist, and I've done a lot of protesting here. As long as you're on public sidewalk, you can protest as your First Amendment right. A lot of these FBIs are actually infiltrating a lot of pro-life groups to enact violence, and they're the ones who are actually trying to convince people to enact violence. So they're not just, you know, investigating pro-lifers. They are enacting the violence themselves in order to
get... You mean they're trying to get you to get violent?
Yes.
So very similar to what we saw on January 6th.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's... I have been seeing a lot of this information that's coming out, too, talking about these groups and how they are infiltrating groups. And what we've been seeing with, like the governor case, where they ended up having that group that was infiltrated, and half the people were FBI agents inside of this group that were trying to get them to go after the governor and trying to get them to do that. And what it ended up coming out is the same guy that oversaw that botched job to where they really didn't have any cases on these people. They themselves were the ones that were pushing them to do violence, so they didn't end up having any cases. The same guy who oversaw that went and oversaw January 6th.
Right. And isn't this kind of like a replay of everything? It's like racism and everything else, the division. You know, they're screaming and pointing fingers at us, like you say, Edith. And it's them that is actually causing all of that to happen.
Exactly.
And keeping it going. They're the one that keeps stirring the pot with most of this stuff.
Well, and so looking at this from my point of view and seeing this, I see that the private-public partnership that they're talking about doing,
mm-hmm.
that is completely coming to fruition. So we have that story, but we also have Discover Card will start tracking customers' gun purchases beginning in April.
Yeah,
this came out March 2nd, the same day. So the tracking of 57 million Discover cards in circulation is set to begin in April. The National Rifle Association, which is opposed to the tracking, explained in the statement that Discover intends to implement a new merchant category, MCC, created to track purchases at gun stores with express purpose of monitoring and reporting to authorities any activity of the company considers suspicious.
Right, and then that ties right into the ESG scores
mm-hmm.
with the banks.
So there was another portion of this that I also wanted to discuss that makes that whistleblower's claims so damning, quite frankly, is we've seen over 200 attacks on pregnancy centers that are for saving kids. There's for helping mothers and saving kids.
Yeah, so what they do is they go by donations. They get donated clothing, baby formula, like stuff that mothers will need, and before, like during pregnancy counseling and resources and help. So while the anti-abortion movement is doing this to help women, the pro-choice, pro-death movement is attacking these facilities. But the FBI is, you know, again, focusing on the pro-life movement instead of focusing on the fact that, hey, there's actual violence that's going on, but we're going to go with the nonviolent people and get them to enact violence.
Well, yeah. So here is, this was Attorney General Merrick Garland claimed on Wednesday that the Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation put their full resources into investigating the attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers. However, it was pointed out that only two people have been charged and there have been over 200 attacks nationwide, including firebombings and arsons. That really says it all right now.
Yeah.
You've got people that are handing out flyers that are being arrested by the FBI versus people that are firebombing buildings.
And going on that one, here's from what Pro-Life Friends San Francisco and Survivors of LA have posted on that fact. Pro-life activists unlawfully arrested for protesting fetal organ harvesting outside San Francisco hospital. So we don't just focus on the murder of preborn children. We also focus on the unethical harvesting and experimentation on those fetal, human fetal organs of these babies that are murdered.
Well, and once again, getting back to the idea of private-public partnership. We mm-hmm. see this taking place. We just covered Discover. Bank of America worked with feds to target gun owners, whistleblower confirms. This is a new one that came out the very next day on March 3rd. Bank of America worked with the FBI to investigate customers who made purchase with Bank of America credit and debit cards on and around January 6th and pushed those who had made gun purchases to the top of the list, according to the whistleblower testimony obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. The whistleblower George Hill, a retired FBI supervisory intelligence analyst, testified to the White House Judiciary Committee in February that Bank of America gave the FBI Washington's field office a list of individuals who made transactions in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area between January 5th and January 7th, saying the company did so of its own volition and without any known legal process, according to the testimony made by the House Judiciary Committee in February. The list of individuals later distributed to field FBI offices around the country, including Bank of America customers that had purchased any product between those dates, while customers who had bought firearms were prioritized.
Unbelievable. It is an unbelievable book. It is.
Well, here's the thing. When they come out and blatantly tell you that we are going to target you and we are going to target your purchases of gun, we are going to target your purchases and anything that has to do with the 2A, and we are also going to come after your freedom of speech, and we are going to make that a priority, and we are going to use private-public partnerships to where we can't specifically do this to you in America, but we are going to use the organizations, the banks, the pharmacies, we're going to use the grocery outlets, and we're going to use any means and any company we have up into your vehicles. We're going to be able to do all of this. And so one more story.
Yeah. Because we want to surveil you and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, how we tell you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one more story here. So back to the private-public partnership. Ford patent would embed kill switch in new vehicles. Ford Motor Company has filed a patent for a technology that would allow the automaker to remotely disable a vehicle if the owner falls behind on making their payments. An owner of a vehicle may default on a payment towards a vehicle for various reasons. The lender may send a default payment notice to the owner, followed by a notice of intent to initiate reposition proceedings if the payment is not fulfilled within a certain period of time.
And that's the only reason that they'll use that kill switch, right, is because, you know, Dave, you didn't make your payment last month, so you don't get to drive your car. That's the only reason that they would ever use anything like that, right?
So according to the patent filing, Ford's technology would allow the company to remotely disable any primary use component category, which includes the car's engines, brakes, accelerator, steering wheel, door locks, and lights. Now, what's scary about that is, theoretically, couldn't they just disable one of those out of that, the way that reads? So
yeah.
You're just going along, I was gonna say, an hour.
Yeah. And your brakes lock up, and there's not going to be any problem.
Oh, no.
Or you know, steering?
Lock up. Your brakes won't lock up. You just don't have any.
Oh, well, there is that. But that's very scary that they have that power with the technology to do that.
Oh, crap. Yeah. He didn't get the vaccine. Just...
Exactly.
Right up here at this curve up here, just let it go.
It's going to say, you know, Dave, it's going to come across in your car through the speakers. It's going to say, Dave, did you get your booster today? If not, guess what? You're out of here. You know, you're done. Your car's not going to work. You have no brakes. So.
And so I also just to really put the cherry on the top of just how great these guys are. So. On February 28, 1993, the ATF carried out a search warrant of the Mount Carmel Center, which belonged to the apocalyptic religious movement known as the Branch Davidians. The warrant was authorized after a group which was licensed to manufacture and sell weapons was suspected of stockpiling reportedly illegal weapons. The ATF also received an arrest warrant for Branch Davidian Branch Davidian leader David Kosh, along with several other members. A gunfight erupted between the ATF agents and Branch Davidian members as the agency attempted to execute the search warrant. Four ATF agents and six Branch Davidians were killed in the initial gunfight that led to a 51-day siege conducted by the agency. On April 19th, 1993, the Federal Bureau of Investigations initiated a tear gas attack on the compound in an effort to force the Branch Davidian members out of the ranch. Fires broke out during April 19th assault, engulfing the compound in flames, killing 76 Branch Davidians, including Koresh's 25 children and two pregnant women. Nine Branch Davidian members left the building as the compound erupted in flames. The ATF alleged the fires were started by the Branch Davidians members, while the religious movement maintained the fires were started as a result of the agency's siege.
Right. Again, the government didn't mess that up, did they?
To celebrate this and the anniversary of it, they posted a bunch of pictures of their agents standing guard.
Like I say, they messed that up like they messed Ruby Ridge up. Do you remember Ruby Ridge?
I do, but this is the thing. I don't think a lot of people, especially my age, I don't think many people at all my age know this story or the Ruby Ridge story. I don't think they do. I don't think they know that the ATF went in there and burned 25 children and two pregnant women alive.
There's so much government overreach. No matter whether it's the DOJ, the FBI. I mean, why don't we just get rid of them all? Well, and maybe start over again. I don't know because we got to kind of cut the head of the snake off.
Well, in most of these agencies, too, when you look at why they were started, so the FBI in particular was started because the police were too doggone corrupt in the city to be able to handle them and deal with them.
And they never got corrupted, right, the FBI?
Well, and you look at all these agencies now. I have...
Show me one that it doesn't have corruption at some level, especially the higher level, you know.
And to that note, also on March 3rd, IRS allows PFLP terrorists to fundraise through leftist nonprofit. So, oh my gosh.
It doesn't stop at all.
One name that keeps coming up in the Freedom Center's investigation of nonprofits is the Alliance for Global Justice, AFGJ, was spun off from the Nicaragua Network, which had been set up to support the Marxist terrorist regime. It went on to operate in the Venezuela solidarity campaign in support of the narco-socialist Maduro regime in that country. While the IRS has harassed pro-Israel groups and interrogated them about their views, it has never found the time to ask AFGJ about its support for enemy nations. It constantly figures a commemoration of Chavez's legacy in support of a regime whose bosses are wanted criminals for their role in the cartel smuggling cocaine into the United States.
As long as they pay tax on that, what's the problem?
Well, you know, it's a non-profit. They're not going to even pay taxes.
Well, that's I mean, and look how long it took us to get our status. It took us like 12 years. I don't know. We went through a lot of litigation on that one. Maybe not that much, more like seven, but anyway.
So I do have an opinion piece right here. This is on dailycaller.com. It is, "You're not paranoid. The FBI is to get out to get you." A group of dissidents gather in a conference room at Washington, D.C. hotel to discuss the next steps for their social justice movement. But there in the back of the room stands a man in dark sunglasses with his face partially covered. It was an invite-only event, so surely he had been vetted. And yet nobody seems to recognize him. Worse yet, he appears to be surreptitiously recording the event. Before anyone can confront him, he slips out the back. A few weeks later, a member of the movement appears in court, where she's confronted with transcripts of the meeting as evidence that she violated the terms of her release. Her colleagues pulls the mysterious stranger's name from the sign-in list. It's bogus. He was a Fed. If it were 1963, I might be describing a meeting of the Black Panther Party or a student in a nonviolent coordinating committee. In reality, this is a story about how the FBI infiltrated a pro-life event held in January 2023. Pro-life group Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising, PAAU, recently alleged on Twitter that an undercover FBI informant secretly recorded their meeting. Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz wrote on Wednesday in a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland, Eric Mike Santos attended and taped a pro-life meeting in a Watergate hotel in Washington, D.C. The recording was then used in federal court as evidence that PAAU Director of Activism, Lauren Handy, violated her terms of release. Full disclosure, I did some volunteer work for PAAU before starting my job at the Caller, this person writes. Fox News' Brett Baer asked the FBI director, Christopher Wray, about the PAAU's allegation during the interview Tuesday, but the director declined to comment. Did you have anything you wanted to add on this, Miss?
So, from what I understand on that one, is that they ended up having a mole, an FBI agent, who infiltrated So PAU is Progressive's Anti-Abortion Uprising, and they had a conference activist meeting that was infiltrated by an FBI agent. And she was not actually involved, Handy wasn't actually involved in organizing anything. She was there, but she wasn't. So based on her, the terms that they gave her, which were unlawful to begin with, was that she wasn't allowed to even be around any of her activist friends based on the fact that that was what the judge had for her terms of release. So basically it was all unlawful, unconstitutional, and everyone's pretty much at this point, if you're an activist or are in a pro-life organization, it's probably best to start vetting who you let in.
One, this is the thing, too, that we're ended up seeing on all of us. So there's the other thing that comes up. This isn't localized just to the feds. There appears to be these organizations and these groups, which are large and everywhere, that are infiltrating groups and taking them over. So one of the big ones that everybody really needs to be aware of is the global world shapers and the people with the World Economic Forum. So,
right.
For instance, we ended up seeing the truckers' convention that was in Ottawa, how they were doing so good, so long, they were really getting a lot of change that was getting done. Well, all of a sudden, these global world shaper guys, no, they're there, and now all of a sudden they're taking over the group and saying, well, we're the front, and we're the people that you need to talk to for this. And then the whole thing comes crashing down. And this is what we see time and time again. We see that any time there is progress that's being made, these groups get infiltrated and taken over, and a lot of it's done on the perceived public level because they use the media against us. So the media is told, hey, go meet with these guys, say that they're the leaders in the organization of it. Now all of the effort and all the people supporting them are now directed at the guy that just planted the actual people that are our group that are making the change and saying, oh, we're the only ones that you can talk to.
Right. And you go back to follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just brought up the article, you know, here is the lawmaker who accepts more BlackRock money than any other member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you go back to, you know, of course it's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, but you start following the money, and you can see where they're behind all of this stuff with the rhinos, you know, running as Republicans in a lot of seats. That's being exposed more and more and more, you know, that the money behind it, they're pushing it. We know that with the DAs. Now, we don't know for sure if our DA is or isn't involved in that, but we do know Soros backed a lot of the DAs with the money and causing to get them into office and get their agenda done.
Well, it's scary, too. These DAs that are being brought into these positions, they are clearly anti-American, anti-life, to the point to where, yeah, you can have people going out and firebombing and shooting people on the streets, and they'll just straight up say, yeah, we're not going to take the case. It's not something we're concerned about. And that's where we get to see a lot of these things, like homeless people executed in the street.
Well, look what happened with Antifa or Antifa, whatever you want to call it. Did any of them get prosecuted?
None. Well, there were a few, to be fair, but very few.
Yeah, very few. And they're still doing it. They're still burning stuff, still looting, and all of that.
Well, once again, it was selective. So the people that did end up getting prosecuted, it was, oh, you went to burn down my courthouse. Yeah, you're in trouble. The rest of you that just burned down all of the buildings and all of, like, you know, the businesses and the stores and all that, yeah, you're fine. You boys will be boys.
Yeah, all that stuff is just so crazy. But again, then we bring it back to the local level. That's the only place that we can start making changes and finding out who these people are and, you know, trying to get them out of office. Because it can make a difference. We've got to start here. We've seen what happens when you do change certain things with people in office. We just need to get more of it and get a true elections, you know. Mm-hmm. The vote, you know, truly the vote as the people want it. Not how somebody thinks it should be, right. You know.
Well, and these are the things, too. I'm young enough to remember that I don't remember any period in my life to where we had election week. We always knew that night.
You mean election season?
Oh, yeah. Now it's not even election week. Now it's election season. I feel like it's a football runoff. Joining us today as we have the Dallas Cowboys go up against this, and we're going to end up fighting them, and then we're going to fight these guys over here, and 3 weeks later, we're going to know who the winner is.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying, like, earlier with the special election coming out of Shasta Lake. Why is it taking? Why will it take so many days for it to be certified?
Right.
That's crazy. I remember back in the day, I'm old enough to remember that on election day, my aunt stayed until all the votes were counted in wherever her precinct was or wherever it was. It was a small town, so it was probably like, you know, at the Grange Hall or something like that. But they stayed until everything was counted, sealed, and sent to where it needed to go. And they'd call the elections. It didn't take no 30 days or whatever.
It didn't take that long before. It used to be that same night that you would know.
Yeah. Well, now the numbers change during the night, depending on the machines and stuff. That,
right.
They flip the numbers. So anyway, maybe we'll go to a break, and then we'll figure out what else we want to cover on the last half of the show. How's that sound, guys?
That sounds perfect. Yeah, there's actually, I'm really trying hard to find it right now, but there was a very, very telling story that ended up coming out as far as the CEO of Pfizer being asked questions by independent journalists that was amazing.
Oh, was really, that at really the, over there in Davos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if that you can find that video anymore. Anyway.
It's hard to find.
Yeah. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hop takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the coolest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
All right, so I was able to find it here, and we are on air.
Oh, are we?
We are.
Oopsie. I'm sorry if I said something I wasn't supposed to. I was looking for something.
All right.
So, you did find the video.
I did, and this is one that it has been heavily sanitized. Ironically or unironically, I was able to find it originally on MSN, and then from there I was able to find out the approximate date. This took place on January 18th, 2023. Now, what's interesting about this is I have only heard this on one radio show, period. And I listen to
it. I don't think I've ever heard it on a radio show.
I've only heard it on one, and it was recently that I ended up hearing it because that was what brought my attention to it. This seems like it should be pretty big, pretty telling, so let's just go ahead and listen to this for a little bit, because this is Albert Bourla, who is the CEO of Pfizer, on the street in Davos on January 18th, and some independent journalists asking him questions.
Mr. Bourla, can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer. Why did you keep it a secret that your vaccine did not stop transmission?
Is it time to apologize to the world, sir, to give refunds back to the countries that poured all their money into your vaccine that doesn't work, your ineffective vaccine?
Yeah, you have a little bit of rant.
Are you not ashamed of what you've done in the last couple of years?
Do you have any apologies to the public, sir?
Are you proud of it? You've made millions on the backs of people's entire livelihoods. How does that feel to walk the streets as a millionaire on the backs of the regular person at home in Australia, in England, in Canada?
What do you think about on your yacht, sir? What do you think about on your private jet? Are you worried about product liability? Are you worried about myocarditis?
What about the sudden deaths?
What do you have to say about young men dropping dead of heart attacks every day? Why won't you answer these basic questions?
No apology, sir.
Do you think you should be charged criminally for some of the criminal behavior you've obviously been a part of?
How much money have you personally made off the vaccine?
How many boosters do you think it'll take for you to be happy enough with your earnings? Nothing?
Who did you meet with here in secret? Will you disclose who you met with?
No.
Who did you pay commissions to? In the past, Pfizer has paid $2.3 billion in fines for deceptive marketing.
Facts.
Have you engaged in that same conduct again? Are you under investigation, like you were before, for your deceptive marketing, sir?
If any other product in the world doesn't work as promised, you get a refund. Should you not refund to countries that laid out billions for your ineffective vaccine?
Are you used to only sympathetic media, so you don't know how to answer any questions?
Is that it? Wait, come on. Shame on you, sir.
Shame on you. That's Albert Bourla, the boss of Pfizer. His people were pushing us around a little bit.
Well, he's pretty fit. I don't reckon he's had one jab.
I'm huffing and puffing a bit.
Yeah, he's not going to answer any of those questions at all.
So that video actually goes on for about 6 minutes and 3 seconds. You can find that on Red State, but also another area that you can end up finding some of the good work that they're doing over there is on, let's see, it is from WEFreports.com. So like World Economic Forum Reports.com. And they have that information that's up there. There was also, towards the end of that video, I don't know that I can find it without going through the other 3 minutes on it, but there was actually an Asian gal that ended up going up and asking if she could ask a few questions. And he goes, well, what media are you with? And she goes, I'm an independent journalist. He's like, no questions. No questions. And just continues on. But it's, once again, it's one of those things to where you've got, I think it's actually 5 now, but it used to be 6 until I think recently, to where 6 companies own more than 90% of all of the media, including local media.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So our listeners here, a lot of you know that our local media is not local media at all. Our local media
is Chicago or wherever, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're owned by the same big organizations and big corporations, mm-hmm. So you think you're getting actual news and information. And you're not. You're getting whatever they're telling you that you're going to get.
Well, we do know from prior people that were affiliated with the TV station here that they kind of screen what they can say and what they can't. I mean, they do screen. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't go out and be journalism and come back with a story and say, here's a story. If it doesn't fit their narrative, they don't publish it. They won't allow them to go ahead and air it at all. You know, they say, nope.
Is there going to be a Sovereign Mind show tomorrow for Mountaintop Media?
No, we're not doing one tomorrow.
Well, I was going to save this for then, if you had it, because it's a video. But instead, I'll just go ahead and talk about it for a bit. There has been video that's been coming out of these child drag shows to where it is unbelievably horrible. And
it's sickening.
To fully understand it, you need to see it, but you also need to know that person needs to go to jail, in my opinion. So there is Steve Day's show on 3323 is Eric Adams for Real? ? Is the name of it, and you can find it on the Steve Day's show on Rumble. But listen to that show and that program. I would strongly advise you guys to do that because the questions that we're having right now surrounding children and surrounding the transgender activism that's taking place is it's unmentionable. It's horrible when you end up actually looking at this. You have a guy who's in a G-string and a thong, basically, that has something covering just his little bits that are there that's dancing literally right over a toddler.
Oh. Yeah, and I mentioned it in the beginning of the show, Tennessee passing the laws. And then did you see, I can't think of her name because what I call her isn't nice at all. the spokesperson for the White House. Pierre?
I'm not sure.
What's her name? Anyway, she says, what is that guy, why is he doing that? Why is he spending time and money to pass a bill about drag queen shows?
Yeah, you're talking about Karine Jean-Pierre?
Yeah, her. And there's a video, I don't know if I can find it, where she says, what's the big deal? You know, why is he spending money and time on something like that? It's like, really?
Well, we wouldn't care if you weren't, involving children in your shows. Like, if it was, 21+, or 18+, where you're already a legal adult and you want to do whatever you want with yourself. Just kids shouldn't be involved in what you do. Kids shouldn't be involved in who you're with or what your personal life is. And in this case, too, it's kind of the parents' fault, too. And
it's totally the parents' fault. They need to be slapped.
You're allowing the exploitation of your children.
Well, and this is the thing, too. We're already seeing in some of these blue states, we're already seeing to where they'll go after parents that are not doing gender-affirming care on children as young as 6 years old. And by gender-affirming care, we're talking about lopping off the bits that are like, you know, your reproductive organs for a six-year-old. But, mind you, like in New York, there was a mother that got her underage child, under 18, a tattoo, but she ended up going to jail for that. But so tattoos, no. Alcohol, no. Lopping off your parts for your reproductive organs, yes, totally fine. So
it just gets me that how can anybody see anything good about that whole thing at all?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and you make it sound like we're the bad people because we're not allowing the children to be exposed to this stuff.
Well, and so this is the thing that we're seeing over and over and over again. And there are some states, but we are – I don't think there's any way around this. I think we're heading towards a civil war. There is no way at this point that you are not going to have conflict that is going to be exacerbated by this because of the amount of states that are doing these things. So, like, for instance, the father who was in Texas that ended up losing his son comes here with the mother to California, and now he can't see the son at all.
Yeah, because he wouldn't allow him to have or be identified as whatever.
Well, and so the mother wanted to have surgery to physically change him that way and chop off his penis and give him a fake vagina and then go about those portions of it, and the father did not want to do that. So the last contact the father had with the son was a time just before his son ended up coming out to his therapist saying, I don't want to be a girl. I want to be a boy, which was his biological gender. Well, they claimed that the father made him say that and then took away all of the father's rights. So he hasn't seen his son now in 2 years. And this kid is somewhere in California, and he's got two boys with this girl. So one of them she went crazy and nutso on, and the other one she's raising normal, but he has no say in it whatsoever anymore. But at the same time, you have a place like Texas that allowed this to happen with the judges who were there who got paid off, it would seem, based upon the father's testimony, got paid off. And his kid now is in California, which by law in California, they have to give the gender-affirming care to your children, whether you know it, like it, or not.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So
But
this is to the next point of that. So we have California that's on one side of this, and you have Mississippi government signs a bill banning gender reassignment surgeries. The governor says the bill counters the pseudoscience being pushed on American youth. House Bill 1125, also known as the Regulate Experimental Adolescent Procedures, REAP Act, prohibits cross-sex hormones and puberty-blocking drugs from being given to individuals under the age of 18, as well as sex change surgeries, including mastectomy, voice surgery, liposuction, lipofilling, pectoral implants, and other aesthetic procedures for female patients. And so
I'm lost for words when we come to this stuff. I'm sorry sometimes because it's just so insane that we're having this conversation, let alone that it's involving our children with this. I mean, even, you know, I was talking with my husband the other day about this. You know, there's a street they call Broadway in San Francisco, and they have, I don't know what you call them, the shows down there, adult shows, I guess. They used to, back in the day, they even had laws about what they could do and show.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone what they're doing with the children in school and at these drag shows and stuff. I mean, my God.
Well, so what's interesting, too, as far as this whole culture war and this whole problem that we're seeing right now, the guy that was representing the Hershey's candy bar that now identifies as a woman, and for International Women's Day is being represented by a man biologically there, he was identifying as a man 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, he was talking about how he was so sorry that he was a cis white privileged person and how he didn't want to offend the people that he was around there and that he wanted to work as an ally. Fast forward 2 years, and now he's talking about how cis white males don't have an understanding that they need to be able to figure out their own selves and work as an ally with them, and he now identifies as a she, so she now gets to go and be the best woman there is for Hershey's. I mean, literally, it's mind-boggling. There is no such thing as women's rights anymore. The men are the best women there are, apparently. That's the only thing I can see.
So, I mean, we can say the patriarchy has won after all, huh, feminists? And you technically allowed it.
Well, this is the thing. It's interesting, too, because they're going to tear themselves apart, but this is exactly the type of behavior that we see from countries that are in death throw. This is exactly what we see.
I mean, I don't think it, well, maybe it is in other countries as much as it is here. I don't think they do it as much like what in
no,
your
no,
face
no.
like here.
I don't mean it for like today's day and age. What I mean is look back at history. So looking back at history, you can see this type of behavior is exactly the same type of behavior as we saw in massive great empires that were about to fall. Look at Rome. Same exact thing. Pederasty, you had all the rest of it that was going on. You had the people that were cross-dressing and all the rest of it back then, and there was a culture that was surrounding a lot of that, and then obviously fertility rates start to drop off. You have a lot more people that are not having children, child sacrifice, stuff like that. Like we just had Valentine's Day, which back then it was known as Lupercalia. Well, Lupercalia was basically a time for, I don't know if I can even say the words on the radio, but it was a time for orgies and forced sensual relationships with women and people and minors and all kinds of other things. And so just look up Lupercalia in regards to that. So that's kind of where the origins of Valentine's Day came from. But you look at a lot of those and then you look at these great empires, and that was always the way it was just when they were about to fall. And it really does look like we're about to fall.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to actually change the subject. I want to get off of that. In the beginning, we talked about the elections, and we talked about Zuckerbucks. He's got it. And anyway, so I just found this article on Need to Know News, and it was as of March 1st. Zuckerbucks aims at recruiting far-left operatives to take over election offices in 2024. The U.S. Alliance for Election Excellency, the grant that Shasta County's getting, or could, is a 5-year, $80 million strategy funded by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Private money. Zuckerbucks that aims to recruit far-left candidates to run in local election offices around the country. These far-left Zuckerberg election groups are coordinating with big tech, government companies, and other liberal groups. Nearly $350 million was poured into local elections office during the 2020 election, with most of the funds donated to the nonprofit by Zuckerberg. Huh. Now that just come out, and let's accept the money and everything with no, even if there's strings attached and there's nothing going on here, nothing to see, folks. But it's coming out knowingly that that's what they're doing, putting people in this office.
Mm-hmm.
Offices, I should say.
Well, and there's a lot of that, too. How is it that he's getting away with this? Because I know me as an individual, I can only donate certain amounts of money. But him, apparently, as an individual, can do millions upon millions of dollars and get away with it.
Well, that's different. Don't you know that?
I'm
you're just figuring this out, that it's different for him to do this with the money?
Well, and it really seems like we have an oligarchy.
Yeah.
It really doesn't seem like we have any say whatsoever, aside from maybe locally, which I guess maybe that's what it is, because that's why we make national headlines and international news.
And even
news.
Then, if we speak up about this, the elections office and the far left, all getting an uproar. Oh, you know, the money, like, we need a new building. What's the problem? Let's just go along. We need to have this, you know. they would never tell us what to do or have it, you know, corrupt our elections or not count correctly.
This is the problem that I think we all need to have an understanding of, that when we originally were founded, it wasn't the government's obligation to give you anything. Food stamps wasn't a thing. You didn't have a Social Security program that you had to pay into. You didn't have any assurances. What you had is you had the American dream and the ability to work for yourself and the ability to actually create something without the government taxing you and had the same obscene rates to be able to pay for all of these social conveniences that you think you're guaranteed.
Right.
So basically, you were self-sustainable.
Mm-hmm. And you were responsible for your own welfare. And it goes back to, so prime example of this. Over in Africa, there was an area to where it was a whole bunch of impoverished people that were over there. This area didn't have really any good hunting grounds. The people were in desperate need of being given aid and food. So what they did is, over a course and period of time, they ended up giving the aid, but they also ended up going over there, and they dug out these huge pits, and they ended up filling them with fish, and they were able to make it completely self-sustainable, and they showed them all how to take care of it and to do everything for it. Well, they ended up leaving, and without them knowing, another organization who had already ordered trucks of food ended up going and delivering those trucks of food. So they came back 6 months later after they did this multiple million-dollar job over there of giving them a sustainable way that they could feed themselves and provide for their area. And the pools were all dry, the fish were all dead, and it was all gone, and they asked them what happened. And they ended up saying, well, the food trucks just kept coming. So it was easier to just take the free food than go out there and work in the hot sun. So we just took the free food and the fish all died. Okay, well, that's exactly what we're seeing right now with all the people in America that are on these programs. And I won't say all, but I'll say a vast majority of them. Because if we didn't have to pay for all those programs, we'd have those same people able to actually make it by on a lot of these wages and a lot of these salaries that they were going to be getting. Because right now, when you look at all the crap tax that you got to pay to the government and how much money over what your salary is to pay for all of the extra things, you're getting robbed blind at every single opportunity, and more than 60% of your money is going to the government.
Right. I want to get back to this article. It says, Democrats no longer have to worry about nominating candidates who are senile or can't string together two sentences. All they have to do is make sure they are running the elections office and counting the ballots. It's nothing new. Stalin excelled in this effort. According to the website with this U.S. Alliance for Election Excellency, it is, you know, they're together with the Center for Tech. Now listen to these names. Center for Tech, Civic Life, Center for Civic Design, Center for Secure and Modern Elections, the Election Group. They all sound really good, don't they?
Of course.
Yeah, that there's nothing hanky going on here at all. Stanford University, surprise, surprise, Prototyping Systems Lab, and U.S. Digital Response. The alliance is a 5-year, $80 million strategy funded by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg to recruit far-left candidates to run local election offices around the country. And Shasta County was chosen for this
program. Course they were.
Yeah.
You make headlines, and they want to make sure that they can undo anything that we, the people, are doing. It's I mean, when you actually look at Zuckerberg and his organization, Facebook, it really does look like it was set up as a government program. And you look at the way it used to be, I mean, shoot, the feds and the CIA, they had to go through and spend all this time documenting your favorite places, who your friends are, what your likes are. Well, yeah, now you just compile all that information yourself and say, here you go, this is where I'm at, I'm checking in over here.
Let me just get the algorithms together so I can track you a little bit more, okay? Give me a few minutes so I can figure it out.
So I do want to rip on Florida here for a minute. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about Florida, but I'm not particularly happy with this one. So Florida bill would require bloggers who write about government officials to register with the state. State Senator Jason Bedore, a Republican, sponsored SB 1316, Rhino, which would require paid bloggers writing about the governor, lieutenant governor, cabinet officer, or any member of legislature to register with the Office of Legislative Services or the Commission on Ethics. Registration would be required within 5 days under the proposed bill. Bloggers would also be required to file monthly reports with failure to register or do so by specific dates being punishable by $2,500 in fines per report.
Okay, so you can talk – I'm sorry. You can talk about me all you want and write anything you want about me, but, I can't do that if you're a government official?
Exactly. And so, I mean, I understand a little bit about where he's coming from on this, but this is the problem. This is the whole
– Who are you to tell me what I can say and can't say? That's my constitutional right.
The infringement on the first
– Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there is another
one. Unless I register with you and say, okay, thank you, king of blogs. I can write this. Yes. As long as I don't go too far, I'm okay to blog on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
But with your, you know.
So there is, as of yesterday, this is from the Epoch Times, probability of debt default has risen 300% since the start of the year. In the new
what
report.
Was that? I'm sorry.
Probability of debt default has risen 300%.
Debt. Yep.
The probability of a catastrophic U.S. debt default has risen by 300% since the start of the year. A recent report from MSCI, an American financial service provider, warned about the tripling of a debt default and said that Congress must pass a spending bill to avoid disaster in the next few months. Implied default probabilities have increased to levels not seen since the 2013 debt ceiling debate. MSCI reported, the financial services provider said that the probability of a U.S. debt default has soared from 3.3% in the start of January to 11.3% as of last week. The federal
Just
government
print the money.
Right. The federal government hit its $31.9 billion debt ceiling on January 19th, forcing the U.S. Treasury departments to take extraordinary measures to avoid a potential default to keep the government operations funded through June.
Yeah. There's no problem with anything at all.
So somebody also ended up doing this one, which I found this way too funny not to mention. The inverse Jim Cramer ETF has officially arrived. If you're active in the markets, it's almost certainly you've heard a joke about betting the opposite on whatever nonstop stock picker Jim Cramer suggests to retail investors. Now retail investors can do just that. There's a new pair of products coming this week to the inverse Cramer ticket ETF, ticker SJIM, and the long Cramer ticket, long Jim, LJIM, that will now allow investors to bet against or with the Mad Money host. The same group that brought you SARK, the inverse of the ARK fund ETF, are the ones putting together the ETFs. The funds are the brainchild of Matthew Tuttle, CEO of Tuttle Capital Management. I think that's funny. I do. I just find that hilarious.
Well, we're almost to the end of the show. I was going to see what else I could hit upon real quick, but of course...
Well, I've got another one here from Mark
Zuckerberg. I'm sure you do, but Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg is on my radar. I'm telling you what. Yeah.
Oh, with a name like Zuck.
and Facebook and that whole thing, you know.
Well, it's going to be interesting because – so, actually, I won't hit this story. I'll just talk it out for a bit. So there's been a number of things that have been happening and going on TikTok of all places.
I don't do TikTok.
I'm banned off of it, so I'm only hearing it through the grapevine.
I'm banned.
but what's interesting about it is there is a whole bunch of Generation Z now that's coming out and just being like, we're done. We're done with the woke crap. We're done doing all the rest of this. There's a little line that they're using, which I'm sure they're going to end up banning soon. But it was just a little short quip from Marge Simpson, I think it was, to where I was like, all right, or it wasn't Marge Simpson. It was the gal from Family Guy. It was like, all right, you win with the gay stuff and like all the rest of it. Just this, that, and the other thing. And like this annoying voice, but people are putting up their real stories about what they think and what's happening to them. But it's starting to freak a bunch of these people out, because what's ended up happening is that people are more and more agreeing with these comments all throughout it for hundreds and hundreds of these comments, and nobody's saying anything else about it. And it does seem like there's starting to be a swing that is, especially with this younger generation waking up. So there's starting to be these news articles that are coming out recently that are saying, well, maybe Gen Z isn't as woke as what we thought. Maybe they're not going about this way, but they're shooting themselves in the foot with all of this, because the more you end up locking down information, it's like telling the kid not able to go out.
It can, and we've had this conversation before. If you lock them down too much, then it just causes them to want to do it more. It can.
Mm-hmm. When it's, you look at it, and so far they've done a really good job of having like Antifa and BLM and a bunch of these other organizations, which are being propped up by this big media and by all these other influencers. But the more you end up starting to look at it, it used to be to where it was like raging against the machine was to not do what the government and everybody else wanted you to do.
Well, but then I don't get my paycheck. I don't get the money and all that. I guess we're pretty much at the end of time, so.
Wait, I want to say one quick thing. Okay, so I'm the founder of Walk for Life Reading, and I'm trying to get more people active and the anti-abortion movement here in our area locally. So if you're wanting to be more direct action involvement activism, let me know. My email address for